Good morning, everyone. This is Professor Amin-Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University, Africana Studies Department, former City Councilman for the City of Compton, former School Board Trustee for Compton Unified and Compton College. I'm just happy to get back to work on this Monday, and along with Brother Joe Hembrick, historian and longtime college administrator and educator, outstanding coach, not only coaching people in football and teaching PE, but also coaching them in life. And that's the beauty of his contribution to the fourth floor of Black People Liberation. We want to thank Brother Rasha Key for providing the Conscious Corner with the Community Education Network platform. And we thank Brother Mashinda for chiming in. Got a lot to discuss this evening. We're going to start off with the Chris Rock slapping, getting slapped by Will Smith. And then we're going to talk about Judge Contagia Brown and her challenges and her appointment, potential appointment and approval to the United States Supreme Court. As well as, if we have time, we may even talk about the Emmett Till anti-lynching law that just was passed and signed, that's been criticized by some of the family members of Emmett Till. But Mashinda, we're going to start with you. Do you have any comments about Will Smith slapping, and do you think it was appropriate? Do you think Chris Rock deserved it? Do you think Will Smith was out of pocket? What's going on, Mashinda? How do you feel about it?
I was flicking Sabbath last night, and I actually watched that happen. That's about the only part I watched that last night. I thought it was part of the, you know, when Chris Rock came out there, I thought Chris was, you know, it was probably a skit. I mean, it's some kind of setup or what have you, part of his presentation, his comedy. But, you know, the way he did it, you know, he slapped a man, you know, and I just thought, you know, I don't have too much stock in Will Smith. You know what I mean? I don't follow Will Smith too often. I've seen him grow up on TV, Fresh Prince and all that whole stuff. But, you know, he's a Hollywood dude that's out there making his money and doing what he got to do to make his money. But anyway, when the incident went down, when he slapped the guy, he was laughing as well. I was watching him laugh. And then I guess it wasn't funny to his wife. And so he had to, you know, prove his manhood. You know, had to show his manhood and go up there and slap the man. But it was disrespectful, you know what I mean? Just, you know, acting a damn fool. And then he wanted to talk about love when he won his Academy Award, you know, with Serena's dad, King Richard Award. He was just talking about he wanted to be a vessel for love and all this kind of stuff. So it's hypocritical. You know, it's kind of like for him to do that, you know, that shows he's kind of, to me, he's just an unstable brother. You know, he's trying to find himself to prove to your wife, you know, I don't know what you're trying to prove to her. Y'all been together forever, you know. So, I other than that, I mean, you know, I won't say it's typical because I don't know him like that, but it's just, you know, I think it's sad that, you know, one brother gets up there and slaps the other brother. But, you know, that's the line of work they're in. They clown and they do all kind of comedic stuff. And, you know, so other than that, you know, not too serious. I think it's more, you know, it's not as serious as Ukraine, you know. So, you know, that's it. That's all I have to say about that. Will Smith, you know, he don't require too much conversation for me tonight.
What about you, Big Joe? How you feel about it? If you have any influence on it?
I don't even care. They can slap each other till the cows come home and bend over whatever they're doing. I don't care nothing about no Hollywood. There's Hollywood swinging, just depend on which way you swing.
Yeah.
And who you got to satisfy that's writing them checks. So ain't none of them people of themselves. If they were, then they couldn't even be up there where they are, wherever that is. And I'm going to be a little mute with this wet out here. This dog is going to be tripping. But as far as that case goes, I just hate to see two brothers do that naturally. I wasn't even watching. I had to hear about it on the news. But anytime somebody offend your woman and she, you know, looked like she had a sad look on her face, then, you know, brother got to stand up, I guess. But, you know, that Hollywood stuff is Hollywood, man. That's all I got to say about it. Pass it on to the next speaker.
Brother Rashikid, what is your position on this?
Well, if a person look at that, first of all, was it scripted? It probably was scripted, and I don't know. He yelled, you know, keep my wife's name out of your, you know, MF mouth. You know, he said it twice. And it just, to me, I think that it's just a sign of how sick that, you know, they put us in positions of prestige and all of that. And then we turn around and do something like imbeciles, embarrass ourselves. And it just doesn't fit well with you know, these people as role models. I remember Charles Barkley say he's not a role model. He's about, you know, he played basketball. But these kids are looking at this. You have other impressionable people looking at it. And I think it's just, it's ridiculous for, you know, Black people to act that way in public and on a stage like that. To me, it's ridiculous and it's embarrassing. You know, I don't condone that type of behavior. And if we are to be a force to be reckoned with, we would have better behavior.
Okay. You don't think his apology is sincere? Anybody respond to his apology? Have you heard about his apology?
Well, it's buffoonery and it's stupid. So there ain't no apology for that. You acted like a fool in front of billions of people that was watching. And, you know, Chris Rock is a comedian. That's what he does. And then, you know, Will Smith is a comedian also. And it's the apology is unnecessary. He did it, own up to it.
Well, Machine, what do you think about his apology? Have you heard about it? You there?
I can chime in.
It probably was sincere. I mean, you know, I mean, it's two things, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's bad, you know, it's an old saying, you know, a person can be bad for business, you know. And, you know, you got a brand, you know, everybody has a brand, you know, and so you're going to tarnish your brand, you know, what are you trying to, what kind of result are you trying to get from that, you know? So it was just it's just an example, or it's indicative of Will Smith's instability. You know, if you understand, you know, I do a lot of reading on different things, and you know, and it's like, you know, he comes across the wires, you know, his information about his family, and they have open marriages, and this rapper is sleeping with his wife, all these other things. So there's a lot of sickness that goes on in that family anyway. You look at the children, the children appear to be confused based on their identity, you know, growing up in a rich family, you know, popular, known family. And a lot of the kids, you know, become, you know, abused and neglected and all kind of things. And the kids turn out, you know, and I pray and hope that the kids, you know, get their minds right and be doing what they, you know, do what they're supposed to do. But you know, as far as that apology goes, though, I mean, he probably knows Chris Rock. He probably said, "Hey, man, my bad." But I'm like, Rasa Key, you don't, we don't know what's scripted and what's not. You know, it's Hollywood, you know, and people do things for different reasons. It might be something down the road where you have Chris Rock against Will Smith in a competition, a rapper, anything, comedic competition or whatever, you know, a comedy showdown. You know, I don't know what's next out of that. But people, it's all about marketing. It's about making money. That's what they do. And they do, they go to all kind of lengths to make their money, sell their soul, do all kind of things. So, but anyway, whether it's a legitimate or not, it's probably either part of the script or, you know, he's just saying, "Hey, brother, my bad." You know, like I say, he was laughing at it as well until he looked over at his wife and then he had to run up there like Superman, I guess. But Chris Rock said, you know, he got hit by Muhammad Ali and didn't even get a scratch. You know, made another joke after that, you know, because he played Muhammad Ali, Will Smith. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hey, that's it. So being a comedian, Chris Rock, that's he'll, you know, he'll watch what he says next time if that was true. And if not, hey, more power to him. Have a good night.
Yeah. Brother Joe.
Hey, brother. And just to correct everybody, I listened to the girl on the news tonight, and she said that wasn't a part of the scripted thing that was supposed to take place. It was not. So I think just like Brother Machinda said, once Will looked at his wife and saw the expression on her face, I guess his manhood had to come up and defend her honor. Which, you know, anybody in Hollywood, I don't know what kind of honor they even have, other than the ones like Cicely Tyson and, you know, some of the old dogs back in the day. But, you know, it's all a show, it's all game, it's all a circus. And, you know, but one thing I'll say about his apology is one thing, you know, them folks will make you do is apologize real quick. You know, when you do so, especially when you talk about them, you saying the anti-Semitic stuff, which that ain't about the language, but they make folks apologize. So they the ones running the show. That's probably why he apologized so quickly. But what he needs to understand is that he actually committed a crime. And he's lucky that Chris is, he hadn't, you know, said anything to authorities yet. But Will Smith could be charged on what he did. But I don't think the brothers would take it that far. But, you know, both of them are comics. And that's what comics do, you know. But I've never seen anything like that happen from someone saying something about someone else. But usually the person is not present when they're saying it. So, you know, I have to give praise to the old comics, you know, Dolemite and Pryor and Moms Mabley and all them, which I put, you know, high and above these current comedians. It ain't even funny to me, but that's all I got to say on it, man. I you know, I was reading something in the paper the other day. It's a different subject, but you know, these Armenians is getting reparations. Mm. You know, I was reading, there was about 3-page article in the paper the other day about them getting their money. But anyway, I'll pass on the comedy stuff.
All right, Brother Rasa Key, what do you think about the problem?
I didn't hear, I heard him apologize because I looked at a couple of YouTube videos. I heard him apologize to the Academy during his, you know, his speech when he got the award. I didn't hear nothing else about any other apology. So did he apologize about the slapping incident?
It was a written statement.
I didn't even see it. And when he did that, I think that's, again, it's ridiculous to me. In my opinion, it's ridiculous. It's crazy. You know, you're at an award show and you do something like that. I mean, now, if it was that bad, I would have met him in the back. Said, look here, man, you do that again, man, I'm going to knock your behind out or something. You know, that's something that you do privately. You knock his behind out or something. But just to do it out right there when you know that, you know, that's a punk move to me. But, you know, that's just, it is what it is. I'm not with that at all.
Do you think, and y'all would respond to this, that do you think Will Smith would have done that if Chris Rock was another comedian, was a white man? Mashinda?
No.
Mashinda. He knew who he was slapping.
But you don't think you don't think he'd have slapped a white man if they'd have made a joke about his wife?
Well, no, I don't think so at all, personally. And in reason being is because she probably would have laughed at it too. You know what I mean? They probably would have he'd and laughed and whoever, you know. But since the brother got up there, who's a comedian, and he probably didn't even know she had alopecia or any of that, any kind of condition in her hair. So they made the reference of G.I. Jane. You know, we knew that was a movie, G.I. Jane, want to make G.I. Jane 2 because of her short haircut, you know. Well, when he made that joke, you know, he didn't intentionally go out there to talk about her hair condition. He just mentioned that she was, you know, he made a bad joke, I guess, because it came out that, you know, she wears her hair short because she has a hair problem. And, it looks nice. You know, she wears it short. That's how she likes it. You know, I guess Chris Rock probably figured it was, just a style that, you know, she has a cute face and got it. Well, however, she thinks she's whatever she is. And he made the comment. Well, he didn't know. He didn't know. I mean, I don't think he's that insistent. You know, I don't know him personally, but I don't think he would have went below the belt like that. But when he made the joke, they said it was a bad joke. I don't know what they talked about after the thing, but I do know that I read where he apologized to the cat, you know, like, I'm sorry I slapped you, you know, after all this speech and stuff after the received Academy Award. But anyway, you know, I'm done with that, though.
Joe, what do you think about if that was a white man talking about his wife?
So damn well, he rather been sitting at a Klan meeting than slapping a white person on that. what was I gonna say? Something I had on my tip of my tongue and escaped me that quickly. I don't believe he would have did it, especially if the person would have been of Jewish descent. He sure wouldn't have. But he should have, you know, Will could have came right back on him talking about if you'd take some of that Jerry juice off your head and put it on her head, it wouldn't have looked that bad.
Jerry juice.
Off the top of his head, so that ain't his natural stuff either. You know, but Hollywood is Hollywood, man. You know, whatever they want to put out there and they put it out there enough, people start to gravitate to it. Subliminal advertising, just like now you see all these, LGBTQ commercials, and when they're not that, they're always interracial. You know, that's what they're putting out there real heavy right now. So, you know, I guess to take the heat off of themselves, because it's always heat on them. And that's part of what's going on in Ukraine. You know, they control of them seaports. Mm-hmm. They were talking about that today, and now that Russia done got to the port, like they ain't caring about the rest of Ukraine. They just want to control that seaport. Thing was about in the first place. But anyway, let's hear your perspective, Professor.
Well, I'm gonna get to mine. I just want to get Rashiki on when he hit the white man, if that was a joke, Roger G.
I doubt it. Yeah, I doubt it. It's, yeah. Yeah, I want to hear what you got to say, Professor.
Well, first of all, I got one more question to the group. The other one is, there's a lot of people saying that he embarrassed Black people as a whole. I'm going to tell you why. They say that, you know, this was the Academy Award, and the stereotype of Black men is angry, Black women is angry, and that it shows that they don't know how to act, and all this diversity for the Academy Awards, that, you know, it was just wrong for him to hurt all Black people that had to come behind him because the stereotypes that we're violent and that we don't know how to behave at upscale events, potentially. How do you feel about that, Mashinda? That it, this is an embarrassment for Black people as a whole?
Well, you know, it is. It is an embarrassment. And but the embarrassment came before the show came on. You know, they've done all kind of embarrassing things, you know, as far as embarrassing, you know, like, you know, how they make their money. I mean, I don't knock some, you know, you mean people's hustle. But, you know, and I, you know, as a comedian, I like Chris Rock. You know, personally, you know, I mean, he seemed like a, you know, he, you know, I don't know him personally, but as far as this comedy, you know, I'm a regular cat. I listen to different things just from an analytical sense and just, you know, and entertainment, you know. And Chris Rock says, I think he's very intelligent, you know, the way he puts together. It's like some of these rappers, you know, some of these guys are geniuses, you know, and what I call genius as far as, you know, like a poet, how they put together the words that they put together, you know, the bars that they put together. It's like, wow, very crafty, you know. I identify that, you know, as, you know, it's like, you know, they good at what they do. It's like, wow. Now what they're saying, that's a whole nother argument. You know, I don't subscribe to certain language as far as disrespect to women and things like that. But I'm just talking about the craft itself. Now, so they are, you know, so some of the things that they've done prior to even coming to Academy Awards, you know, they've embarrassed, you know, Black people just the way they have to carry themselves, you know, like somebody mentioned the buffoonery, you know. I mean, a comedy, you know, they got old comics and, you know, I like to tell, you know, back in the day, I'd like to tell a few jokes and act silly, you know, and say some stuff, try to be funny, you know, whatever. But, you know, so I'm not going to be a hypocrite on that level. But I'm just saying, as far as an embarrassment, you know, it's kind of like, you know, on prior podcasts, we're talking about bringing the family together, bringing the community together, bringing positive truth to the situation so we can uplift ourselves, you know. And so some of these brothers, they got this money, making that money, you know, they can be instrumental in helping the cause. And maybe they have helped people. I can't say that they haven't. So, still, I'm saying it's more destructive, you know, like Rasa Key talks about Mr. Neely Fuller about constructive versus if it's constructive or not constructive. That's very non-constructive, you know, that's destructive, you know. So yeah, it's nothing good comes out of that. You know, there are kids who watch these things, and if he's acting a fool, you know, it might, you know, might trigger other folks to act silly, go to school the next day and just slap somebody like Will Smith slapped somebody. Four or five people, I mean, 1,000 people might have got kicked out of school the next day if they saw that, just to play, to pretend that they're Will Smith and Chris Rock. You know, we would have did that as kids probably if we would have saw that. You know, so kids are impressionable, you know, things like that. Grown adults, you know, it's too late for them. It's too late in the game. Grown adults are grown. You can learn something, but you are who you are. But this, you know, as far as how it relates to kids, the impact on kids, not only embarrassment, but very non-constructive.
Okay. Brother Joe?
Well, I didn't see the movie about the tennis thing, but from the sportscaster, the brothers I listened to today, they say the real crime was him getting an Academy Award for that film. There's a lot of other movies he should have got something for instead of that one. I haven't seen it, but it's good that he paid homage to. He Will tried to clean up by saying, talking about Richard Williams and how he always protected his girls. That was a good cleanup on his part, with the teary eyed and all of that. But I've seen a lot more embarrassing stuff than that. And for other people to try to say, oh, it's embarrassing for black people, I've seen presidents, a couple of white ones, look more, worse than that. Speaking about the last one and the one and the one before that, I've seen them do some bamboozle stuff. And one of them, the vice president couldn't even spell right or something. So, they always want to put that on us when they catch us slipping and they come out with that. But when it's others slipping, I don't hear the same kind of criticism.
What about you, Rashi Key?
Well, I heard Mashinda say something, and I'm, well, we know that kids are impressionable. And then the adults, I think adults are impressionable too. And I think the behavior is reinforced when other adults in prominent positions do what they do. I think that gives people that are already mentally inept to more silly things that they do. And my question is, can adults change? And I'm a living witness of myself changing. So if I can change my behavior, I think other adults can change theirs if they want to. So that's why I was kind of listening to Brother Mashinda, and that kind of came up. Can adults change? And I think adults can. I want to hear what you got to say, Professor Ra.
Yeah, okay, well, a number of things, I think. First of all, I think his apology was sincere, the written one, but I agree with Joe. He should do it publicly so the kids and the overall network can carry it, and he speak it out of his mouth rather than a written statement that somebody else is reading. But it was a sincere, we apologize to everyone in attendance and the actors and how he lost it and he, shouldn't have done it, and that he apologized to all the recipients of awards that night, how he messed up the show. And so I think that was okay, but I would like for him to read it himself publicly if he ever chooses to. Second, the act as a whole, there are going to be middle-class black people that will argue, and they are arguing, that he embarrassed them and embarrassed the black community by the way he acted. I've heard a number of them that have been interviewed that, he messed it up for black people who will be on those type of award shows and unfit, unhinged, and unnecessary. That's what many of them are saying. I forget the guy that they interviewed who was saying that. But the middle class has always felt that way, the crisis of black middle class. I don't think what he did reflects on all black people and as a whole. Personally, I think that's an individual thing, and he was unhinged. They live unhinged life that has been brought out by Mashinda and him and his wife. They discuss their sex lives on talk shows and they discuss, but they do a lot of philanthropy, philanthropy. They give a lot of money away to special groups. And I think Jaina started a school in one of the Caribbean countries. And Will has always donated to Black causes and Black issues. But at the same time, this incident requires for us to do some deep understanding of how it's going to be manipulated into a stereotyping of us as a violent people and people that don't know how to act at white program. Now, I never watched Academy Awards. I never watched them white people giving awards and telling me who's the best Black actor, who's the best the Grammy singer. I mean, when they gave Lil Wayne an award, I said, hey, you know, that's not my cup of tea. So I don't even watch it. I don't watch it even on their shows. I never watched Oprah. I never watched the Bill Cosby show. I never watched what's the guy that always Family Feud. I've never watched none of them because, as Rasha Key brought out, there's a lot of buffoonery. And they're just trying to entertain. It's crossover entertainment. You know, crossover. Even Anderson had a show with his mom on it. You know, it's about feeling, acting as if there's no issues that we're faced with as Black people. And not that that's what they, what people do on stage is one thing. What they do personally sometimes is different. Because they're acting, they're entertaining, they're getting a check for it, and this is what the system pays them to do, be buffoons. You know, white folks see Black people in terms of sex, entertainment, labor, and military, and after that, and taxes. And after that, you know, we're not Americans. You know, we're only Americans when they're in crisis and need soldiers to die for them, when they need somebody to make them happy. Look at the Final Four and the basketball playoffs and the World Series. Black people, you know, playing in states that vote for Trump, that have racist laws, racist practices in Alabama, South, you know, all those places. And, you know, they're doing it for the money. They're doing it because it's a stepping stone. Then you have some Black people that take a position, like the young man that went to Howard. He said, hey, I'm going to a Black school. And I urged my other, he was one of the top basketball players in the country. And he said he's urging the others to start going to the Black school. At one time, Grambling had more professional football players than any of the major colleges. But now that through integration, and that was because most of Black people couldn't go to white school, but now they integrated. Now, you know, it's spread out. So that's the issue. Now, the issue of Serena, I think they said she had a wardrobe a mishap, and that you know, showing her breasts, and so they had to fix that through the cameras and stuff. You know, it's a complicated, it's more than just us criticizing Chris Rock. I think Chris Rock did a beautiful thing of reframing himself, because for many of us, we still be fighting. You understand, up there on stage. You understand, somebody come up there to swing on you, you know. Then the stereotype, you can't say nothing about my mama or my wife. I mean, I remember the days when you used to put a stick on your shoulder when you're in elementary school. If you knocked that off, that meant you was talking about my mama. You know, you arguing with some cat and you put a stick in. You better not knock that off. You knock that off, that means, uh-oh, you're talking about my mama. Like, that gives them extra strength to fight. That whole stereotype, you can't say nothing about Black people. Mamas, are they wives? You know, that, you know, and as Rasha Key said, you got people that will, I think Chris Rock going to continue to tell jokes, going to continue to play on it. I respect him for not filing police charges as of yet. His joke on it, I don't think he will. I'm hoping he won't. The Academy is talking about taking back Chris Rock's award and coming up with some punishment, but at the same time, they let him sit there and receive his award. And if they was going to scratch it, they should have scratched it then. But you never know what these people going to say, as Joe has pointed out. But it's a deep situation that we as a people must realize that, as both Machine and Joe said, you know, that's Hollywood. That's not the Black community. That's not Black people with ethics. And I mean, we got bigger issues and bigger concerns than to get upset because somebody woofing. Woofing has always been a part of our lives. But at the same time, for him to get to sit and laugh at the joke, then see his wife upset, then go up there in the middle of the show, like Kanye West did with the white girl, snatch her award and say this belongs to Beyonce. I mean, those things happen up there in that, but I don't see it relating to all Black people. It was not a Black event. It was not put on by Black people. Although they organized and had major roles in it, you know, as MCs and and discussions and designers and things of this nature, and you know, and all the women, very few of them had on African attire or Jamaican attire or Brazilian attire or Haiti's attire. None of them made a political statement about the conditions of our people. Marlon Brando, when he got his award, he sent a Native American up there to accept it. So, you know, that was an opportunity for them to talk about the atrocities that we are facing, even if it was reparations, as Joe brought up today. You know, there was an opportunity for them to educate people, not just get up there and accept an award and talk about how grateful they are and how, you know, this is, you know, the best thing that ever happened to me, and I thank the white folks for giving me a walk. Yeah, okay, you say all that, but also take the opportunity when you have a captive audience to drop a message on the people. And that's my biggest criticism of them, that they didn't, you know, rather than snap Chris Rock, you know, you could have talked about the need for Black people to be treated better in Haiti, treated better on the continent. More Black people need to be educated and given an opportunity in the arts, the theater and in plays and in roles and in movies, like women do. Women, we need more women. We need more women. What do you need more Black people do? But you know, they didn't see themselves as Black. What Will did, as I conclude, was what white people do. They do this all the time. And the first thing they say, this is an individual. Like when you start jamming them about what they do, they say, no, you can't blame me for what one somebody do. Like look at Clarence Thomas' wife. Well, you can't, she's a citizen. She has the right to support an insurrection and express and go and spend money and support these groups that did the insurrection. But, you know, so, she, you know, it's different. It's a two-track system. So they're piling up on this brother and they're going to use every argument that they can to try to convince the Black community to be angry at him too, because it reflects on them, or and that it reflects on the Black male. I told y'all he was violent. That's why we had to shoot him. You see, because they violent. You know, they can't control themselves over something as everybody says small as that. You know, go on national TV and slap somebody. That right there, as Machine said, is a weak move. If you're going to hit him, hit him. Don't slap him. You know, I mean, that's what you, you know, I mean, that's what you do to your kids. You slap them on the butt. But what is that? Slapping somebody. But I do admire Chris Rock for not swinging back and not saying, you a damn fool, or what's wrong with you, or anything. He just played it off and as a person that just made a joke afterwards. So that's the way I seen that. Any response? Mashinda? What about you, Joe? Y'all there?
Yeah, I had to unmute myself. Mashinda's not, he's muted.
I'm good, Mashinda. Mashinda, you coming in?
Yeah. No, I'm good. I don't have any more to say on that. Yes.
Okay, Dan. What about, we're going to go to the judge appointment next, Mashinda. So hold on. Go ahead, Joe.
I'm pretty much through with that. Like you say, let's just move on, man. I will say this, that has nothing to do with our struggle.
Yeah, there you go. That's my point.
Move on.
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay, then. What about Judge Ketanji Brown and her treatment and her confirmation hearing? Mashinda, do you have any response to that?
Yeah, well, you know, it's just typical, you know, majority of white males, you know, write the policy in this country, you know, the laws, write the laws and so forth. And, you know, they've had their agenda in place for so long. So here you have a woman that comes in and, you know, of course they talk about her hair, the media talks about her braids, you know, and she's a real sister and this and that, you know, think she's married to a white dude, you know, and so I don't know how that affects y'all, but you know, it's, you know, what she goes off to these private colleges, these elite colleges, very smart young lady. She grew up in America, I guess, and she wants to excel. And so she went to Harvard. Well, it's mostly white folks at Harvard or wherever she was at, and she meets a white dude where in her life, and I guess she gets married. And that type of thing. I haven't heard too much about that, but I mean, how does that affect me? It don't, you know, because she's part of the establishment, you know, the structure, the corporation of America is structured and have these folks in place to carry out and control, you know, the destiny of the citizens, you know, and they do preferential treatment. And so basically, you know, she'll be confirmed. I think she'll be confirmed. Of course, the white males, the Republican males, of course, they're going to send her through the ringer. They're going to ask different questions, but they said they're not going to be as, I guess, ignorant. You know, they're going to do it professionally and just ask questions and things like that. So why, you know, all of a sudden they trying to get the Republican position together for the next elections. So you're going to come, you know, so they stage that to come in there with line of questioning with respect, although they're still badgering her and bringing up, you know, when she, you know, with her criminal justice background, as a defense attorney, says she was soft on pornography. So they hammering her, you know, doing a lot of hammering on her about that and all that kind of stuff, you know. But at the end of the day, it's just a game. That's all it is. It's like a sport, but it's bigger than that. You know, this is, you know, people's lives are, you know, in the balance, you know, of all these decisions and things like that. But again, she's part of the establishment. You know, and now has she helped out some young brothers and sisters? Sure, you know. And when I say a part of the establishment, you know, I mean, you know, I think just, you know, her education, that whole route, you know, they people get indoctrinated, you know, you go through a rites of passage to you know, you got to be invited to the party, you know, you just don't move into the Supreme Court Superior Court, federal, appellate, whatever. You don't just, you know, you have to have some connections, you know. And, you know, and again, not one size fit all, but I'm just speaking, generally speaking. So I think that, you know, she probably was out there, you know, seeing the atrocities being put on Black folks in the judicial system. And so she probably, you know, wasn't lenient. They call it lenient, but she's like, wait a minute, you know, you're trying to throw this person away forever, you know, without, you know. And so they're not talking about, you know, how, what she prescribed and what, you know, oh, she's soft on crime and all this kind of stuff, you know? So anyway, I expect that from the white male, you know what I mean? He's a endangered species on the planet. He's fighting for his dear life. And so, you know, hate wasn't invented with her confirmation hearing. People are haters, and you know, that's just the way it is. And I don't know what else to say, so I'm done with her. But, you know.
Okay, Brother Joe, how you feel about the hearing?
Well, I didn't watch it, any of it. I just saw the news reports on it. I'll say this about both the sisters that are up there. If you in the bed with white folks, you damn sure can't be in the struggle. So I'll just say that point for both of them, Harris and Johnson. But you know, the Republican male has to, well, he didn't have to, but because, you know, because prior to her other appointments, they were all for until she got to the Supreme Court. And I really think that they more so object that it's a woman also, you know, because those white males are, you know, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, that's their thing. But the sister Sharp, you know, she's earned her stripes. I thought it was interesting when they was questioning her about defending some of the people that was locked up in Guantanamo Bay. Although, you know, the military were committing, you know, some war crime stuff that they were doing to them people while they had them locked up. And she and I thought her response was classic. Like she was, you know, she was a defense attorney and she was, you know, she was, you know, helping out her client defendant that she was representing. But, you know, we'll see. Like they got another, her and Clarence, both of them, you know, he married to a white woman too. So they ain't stepping up for nothing for our cause. So let it be.
All right, Brother Rasha Key.
I didn't watch any of the hearings. I saw some of the clips on Democracy Now, and I kind of take the position of Neely Fuller, because he works with logic in what he presents to people, and you know the examples he gives, and I'm not one of those persons that's gung ho about being this person that wants to be, you know, a part of this country in a sense that, you know, what we've been through and what we're going through is not meant, it never was meant for us. So I'm not into us being, you know, really, I want to say this where you guys can understand my point. I'm not into this, the first this, the first that. Matter of fact, I have a paper on the website called The First. Why would I want to be around people who enslave me, who don't care nothing about me and don't want me to be a part of their thing? But like you mentioned earlier, Ra, they, you know, whatever they can benefit from us, that's when they include us. You know, they manipulate us and take advantage of our wisdom and genius and just use us for the benefit of the system. So I'm not really interested in her being the first Black woman in the Supreme Court, because we shouldn't be in a color context, period. So my position is, okay, fine. You're the first to join up with the Ku Klux Klan. That's fine with me. You know, you want to be a part of that? Fine. You know, you want to marry white people? I don't think nothing's wrong with that, but it's wrong in the context of the system that we live in, because we're treated unfairly and always have been since the inception of the United States. So I can't get into it. You know, I'm pretty sure she's a highly intelligent woman. It's a lot of people that's highly intelligent, but to hook up with them to further the cause of white supremacy racism, I can't get with that. You know, I mean, you know, I'd rather just listen to you guys talk about it, because I'm not even interested. I said in one of my papers, I want to be the first or the last to see white supremacy and see it go. I want to be one of those people to see this messed up system out of here. So I don't care about no being the first and hooking up with them. I don't care about that. Now, am I going to be cordial and deal with people according to their character, you know, at work? You know, I have teammates that's white, you know, and they treated me well. I treated them well. But as far as, you know, I'll let you talk about it, Rob. I'll listen.
Well, there's a lot to this. You know, and I agree with Joe and Cindy, you know, the Supreme Court has a history of being racist and being passing racist judgments and affirming the exploitation, abuse, and destruction of Black people and other people of non-European stock. I mean, they got it all up and down with regards to immigration laws, with regards to abortion, with regards to that. So the Supreme Court, you know, has a history of that. You have a situation here, though. It's a part of our struggle to open up doors, and maybe someone consciousness can fill it later. She did go to Howard before she went to Harvard. And she was her father. Then, so she went to one of his, a Black college. And she hung out with sisters. They were Deltas, I believe. And she, came up. Her father was a policeman. Then he went to law school. So she went to law school, and they studied together. And she became one of the best. And she won scholarships, and she won money, and she got into Harvard. So, you know, and then her personal life. Yeah, she married to a white man. And Frederick Douglass married two or three white women. You know, Marcus Garvey's son married a white woman. Eldridge Cleaver's book, Soul on Ice, was dedicated to a white woman. Same thing with... Huey Newton with Jane Fonda in the penthouse when he came back from being out the country and things of this nature, and then go to court and win the cases. So, you know, it's what people do. Can they help? You know, we have to deal with white folks. I mean, this is their country. We work, we get that check. Some of us don't socialize with them. There's some that don't socialize because we choose not to, even though we're around them. And there's some that don't socialize with them because they've never been around them and they aren't around them. So we stick. Most people, races stick with their own race. You know, horses stick with horses. You know, you don't see horses hanging out with sheep or hanging out with cows. It's against their nature. More comfortable with each other. Now, and you know, as far as how she, would it affect her judgment? I don't know. We have to wait and see. But the point is that, you know, she did take a position that as a public defender to defend people, and she did criticize America in her briefs for how they were treating the people as Joe Brown and Guantanamo Bay. They say that she was soft on sentencing. Well, you know, but her record don't show that. It showed that it was right in line with what other judges do. And so, you know, the criticism of her by Lindsey Graham and Holly and all of that was what they do to raise funds for themselves, feed their wolves that out there, red meat, you know, and all of that. I think it was a beautiful thing for her to keep her composure like Chris Rock did, you know, and in the midst of all the brutal questions and unnecessary questions and ignorant questions, and the same questions over and over again that didn't reflect her qualifications or professional conduct or ethics, just stuff out of QAnon and, you know, about pedophiles, that she's soft on pedophiles and she's soft on this and that. So I like the way Cory Booker stood up for her and laid it out. I like the way some of the women who had a chart showing her professionalism, her ethics, her morals, her value, her thing. I think it was good for Black young girls to see that if, you know, the benefits of studying, the benefits of getting an education. I ain't saying it can be what she is, but I'm saying that it inspires them that hard work pays off. Studying pays off. We all have children that are doing the best they can, and we appreciate it. And they need role models, and they need inspirational models. And so I think she can serve good at that. Of course, these white folks are going to be racist. They're going to do everything they can to go in her background. And like Joe said, she didn't come from the public defender's office. She came from the United States Appellate Court. She'd been a writer. She was a clerk for Breyer, the guy she's taking place. So she got a lot of skill. We need people on the inside. It's just like, sister always argued with me, you know, we need more Black people to be police to stop the racism, but conscious police officers, responsible police officers that serve and protect our community and serve and protect and watch these other people, what they're doing and checking them. So we need inside track. I think it's a good thing. I think that, you know, we don't erase the Black male. I mean, who needs to be always included in the struggle and in the contributions to our fourth floor liberation. And sometimes they're trying to erase the Black man or demonize or criticize the Black male because he poses a threat in a patriarchal system. They're not really afraid of women. You know, they think they can charm them, and they think that they meet the definition of a man that can give them a baby with good hair and good color. And so they believe that they can deal with a woman on that level. But a man, a true Black man, has always been the number one threat to this system. And at the expense of getting there on the Supreme Court, we still got to hold up the brother, the conscious brother, not the Clarence Thomases, but the ones that really stand up for our liberation. So I thought it was a good so far, how come that all the Democrats in Manchin says he's going to vote for her? So even if she don't get no Republican women or men, she has a good chance of being affirmative and being being a history. I think we need to control the narrative about why it's important to us as a people, not to this country. You know, because that's an indictment of the country to say, you've been here over a couple hundred years, and this is the first time you're able to vote or nominate a Black woman for the Supreme Court, or is this the second one? I think this is the second they argue by somebody named Motley. But I'm just saying that, you know, it's like Shirley Chisholm, you know, she's running for vice president for the Democratic nomination. It's an indictment on the racism of the society. As Mashinda brought out, for us to be the first Black people in Rashiki, don't be, what do you mean first, the first Black? Why is that? Because the reason she's the first, because you denied so many other people. So, you know, she's breaking barriers, and we have to look at it as a part of that. Her nomination came because of our role in getting Biden elected, in getting the senators out of Georgia elected, our role in getting ourselves out of slavery, our role in getting our people out of sharecropping, our role in fighting for reparations. All of that is a culmination that leads up. That's, as Joe said, she didn't get there by herself. She got there at the result of our struggle and to revolutionize this society and liberalize it and make it more responsible to the people as a whole. And it may be, like Rutschke said, the elimination of whites. And that's what, the machinists say, they're fighting to stay white and to stay racist. But you got a movement that America is changing colors, you know, and our alliance and coalitions, you know, people argue that there's some Latinos just as racist. And there's some Blacks that's just self-hating. So we got to work through all those issues. But the most important thing is getting this devil out of here. And the best way to do it is through time, through history, and through culture, because you don't have the weapons. So it's all about population. It's all about inclusion and fighting for breaking down barriers of isolation. So that's about it. Any response, Mashinda?
Hey. Let me just share something, Professor, right quick before Mashinda say something. Right here on the website, I got perspective writings, and I talk about the first, and I don't know what's going on. It's going.
Right.
Oh, there it is. All right. So here it is right here. It's the second paper on perspective writings. And I give a perspective on the concept of the first. And I want to encourage people to read it because it's only two pages long. And I just talked about a few things, and I would like for people to read it and just see the perspective that I put on the first. So, all right, that's all I wanted to share.
Good. All right. Any comments, Mashinda?
No, not really. I think you shared some good points there. You know, I mean, the overall effect. I mean, no matter at the end of the day, I mean, you know, we live in this society, and I think you brought up a good point about, you know, she's a result of the the struggle, you know, to be able to be in that position, you know, the way she looks, the some of the things she said, you know, so. You know, again, I mean, if you're facing a judge, you know, I know if I'm in court I'm going to a judge, you know, I want her to be my judge, you know. I mean, if that's the, you know, in other words, somebody that's going to be fair, that's going, that understands the, you know, the struggle and understand what's going on. So you made some good, you know, that did come out as far as like her dad wanted her to, you know, give her an African name and you know, pretty much, you know, so had that kind of influence on her. So, you know, so in all fairness to her, you know, but again, you know, I don't, you know, as far as, you know, I try to stay out the judicial system, you know, and all that kind of stuff, you know, I mean, it's a wicked system, you know, it's a, not a fair system. You know, if you without representation, if you can't afford representation, you know, you're up against a lot, you know, and things like that. So I don't have a lot of respect. I worked in the system. I know about the system. You know, I know about the court system, studied the court system, you know. So, you know, at the end of the day, more power to her in that regard. I don't know her. It's like I don't know Chris Rock or any of them folks. I don't know what's in their heart. Because at the end of the day, that's what's going to be weighed, your heart. You know, it's like, you know, your love that you, that Will Smith is looking for, you know, that what he recited after when he won his award, you know, it's like everybody's looking for love, you know, that's a key ingredient to bring peace on earth, you know, so if she wants to bring peace on earth, I'm all for her, but, you know, at the same time, I'm not waiting on her.
What about you, Big Joe?
You know, I forgot what the question was.
It was about, you know, I made a commentary on, you know, why she elected and, you know, the importance and the relevancy of her being a part of the Supreme Court, her experience at Delta and her experience at Howard and, you know, that other Black people were married to white women, Frederick Douglass, you know, Elder Cleaver dedicated his book, Solo on Ice, to a white woman.
Okay.
And they, you know, go ahead.
Well, also, you left out Farrakhan's son also did that too. But anyway, sister, you know, I commend her on her accomplishment. You know that, you know that, that, you know that Delta group is real strong. You know that sister we talked about the other day, that's the lady over her. She's a Delta also. And from what I understand by my, you know, from my folks that's in that Greek world, and Delta's got a whole lot of money. And an influence. But the thing I hope that comes out of her appointment, like Brother Mashinda, I believe he said that, that she is, you know, gives some inspiration to some young sisters who want to go in the law. You know, they don't necessarily have to want to be judges, but, you know, there's lawyers and there's a PO, you know, it's all kind of long string of, you know, jobs that's in law. So, you know, hopefully some youngsters will get some inspired from seeing her and whatnot, and maybe that can be a positive thing. But like I say, you know, we still behind enemy lines, and that's the way it is. If we can get a couple of inches, you know, let's take them couple of inches and dig in until we can get a couple more inches. But I still think we need to, you know, kind of deal with self as a group to really, you know, accomplish what we need to be accomplishing, you know, while we're here in this country. So that's about it on that. You know, more power to the system. And I hope, yeah. And I hope she makes a difference when it comes to those votes.
Well, it's still outnumbered. It's still 6-3. You know, conservative, but you, those are dissenting decisions. And then once, if they ever get the majority, they can go back and, you know, move on some of the unjust things that's being done. The important is to have somebody there 95% of the cases that come before the Supreme Court don't even get heard. They just pick and choose the cases that they want and the rulings. So those will be it. Roger Key?
I'm good.
Okay, you good? Well, why don't you go ahead and close this on out then, brother?
Okay, well, we got Sister Making It Happen coming on Wednesday. And she's going to be talking about closing out the Women History Month. So that should be interesting. I know Brother Mashinda likes Sister Making It Happen coming on and doing her bits. So it's good that she's coming back on. So we haven't heard from her in a while. So it'd be good to hear some things she's going to bring to the table.
All right. Well, Monday we got a brother named Ronnie Foster. He's a brother out of Compton, and watch, he just spent 2-3 months in Ghana, and he just finished a book of poetry, street poetry. So he'll be on next Monday.
Okay. Good.
I'll send you the information.
Okay. So each one teach one conscious corner.
I want to thank everybody for chiming in. Made some good points, good content. Good perspective. Both Mashinda, Brother Joe always going to be sharp, and Rasha Key. Asante Sana. See y'all Wednesday.
All right.